Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Coming up next, my almost instant reaction to the Seahawks sticking and picking at number 16 tonight in the NFL draft and taking Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas, a name we've been talking about on the show for months. They did the right thing. I'll give you my reaction to the pick itself. What I think about the first round as a whole, lots of surprises, which actually ended up helping the Seahawks and strengthening their position at 16, a lack of options in trading down. And then what comes next? Seahawks don't pick again until 81 tomorrow. What might that gap look like? Is there a way that they can bridge that gap? And then, of course, we'll do another mock draft simulation coming up next on this reaction show of Seahawks Forever.
Welcome to the Seahawks Forever podcast, in-depth analysis on everything Seahawks. And now, here's your host, Dan Viens.
Big thanks to everybody who hopped on the live stream today as I was on from the very beginning of the draft until about pick 18 or 19. Lots of participation. And there was a lot going on. As I said on the live stream, a lot of great Seahawk content creators out there, and many of them were going live tonight. You had a lot of options, a lot of choices. So for those of you who joined me, it is much appreciated. Hit that like button on the YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, hit the bell for notification of all future episodes. If you prefer audio, you can subscribe on any platform. But if you want to hear ad-free episodes, you can do that only on Spotify. It is a small monthly fee, but I'll put that description down below, or that link in the description. I'm sorry. Or if you just want to contribute to the show, as many did during the live stream today, you can either buy me a coffee or a beer at the link below, or hit that super thanks down below. Let's get into this. Talked earlier this week on the show about how there are certain players that I liked and certain players that I thought I would be excited about if the Seahawks took them, whether that be at 16 or anywhere later in the draft. But that sometimes in this process, you don't know what your reaction is going to be until the moment happens. And the example that I was using is the Michael Penix hypothetical. What if he had been there at 16? He wasn't. And the Seahawks had taken him. It wasn't, in my opinion, the ideal pick. And we're not going to talk a lot about the quarterback situation today. I've done it plenty on this show, but for many reasons, I just didn't think it would be the ideal pick. It's one I would have reconciled. I would have come to terms with. But I wouldn't have been excited in the moment. Byron Murphy is different. If you've been watching the show or following me on Twitter, watching any of my mock drafts, you know that my two favorite players throughout this entire process for the last couple of months were Troy Fatanu and Byron Murphy. I didn't think Fatanu would be there. It ended up working out that he was. We'll talk about that a little bit. And increasingly the last couple of days, it looked like Murphy wasn't going to be there, that the momentum was that he was going earlier and earlier, might not get out of the top 10. I was seeing him as high as 8 to Atlanta as the first defensive player off the board. Dallas Turner seemed to be slipping. You know, Jared Verse was all over the board, kind of everyone from 8 down to 20. But as this draft, this bizarre draft unfolded, first of all, no trades, hardly any trades until later in the first round. But we've been talking for weeks now, months actually, about how the Seahawks' position at 16 was going to be dictated largely by what happened with the quarterbacks. And tonight, the best case scenario unfolded. All six quarterbacks went by pick 13. This is the way the mock drafts were looking a month ago, right? Denver was going to take Knicks at 13. Penix was going to go to the Raiders at 12? I may be getting those picks mixed up. And McCarthy was going to go 4, right? Somebody was going to trade up with Arizona to 4 to get McCarthy, and 6 were going to go. And then the last couple of weeks that started to change, and the narrative around Bo Nix began to change, and that he might even be slipping out of the first round entirely, and that Denver may be considering going a different direction. They even traded for Zach Wilson this week to add to Jarrett Stidham there. And then the Penix buzz to the Raiders just continued to grow. In fact, just about every national mock draft over the last week has been Penix 13 to the Raiders. So the top was chalk. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, didn't quite know. And I talked on the live stream about how I don't think it's the right choice for the Patriots. I don't think that roster is in any way, shape, or form ready to take on a guy like May who needs some development time. There's a lot of bust potential there, as much as I love May's upside. But then what would happen next? Well, Arizona ended up staying and taking Marvin Harrison Jr. One by one, as we went down the board, teams were sticking. The pick is in. We kind of found out later with some trades that we saw. We saw Minnesota move up from 23 to 17, I think, where the trade value there wasn't great. Y'all wanted us to trade down so we could get into the second round. I've been telling you for a while how tough that was per the trade chart, but that there might be some scenarios there with certain positional runs that a team might be willing to overpay a little bit. Nobody was. The Vikings going from 23 to 17 got a third and some change. Had to throw in another 7th and then got some future picks. Not the kind of return that Seahawks fans were hoping for if the Seahawks had moved down. But as it continued to go past the quarterbacks, Penix going 8 to Atlanta was kind of the tipping point. That's where things changed. And you could start to see the ticker at the bottom of the screen, right, with what was coming up. You could start to piece some things together. You knew the Jets were going to go offensive line. You knew the Saints were going to go offensive line. The one curveball might have been Brock Bowers to the Raiders because they had missed out on all the quarterbacks. And then the Broncos actually taking Nix after all. They were all gone. At one point, it got to the 14th pick, right? I'm going off the top of my head there. I didn't put this in my notes. And every single defensive player was still left on the board. And then Laiatu Latu from UCLA went. And so when the Seahawks pick came around at 16, there they were sitting. And in my opinion, every single defensive player was left on the board for them because I don't believe that Latu was high on their board. I don't think he fits the kind of style Mike McDonald wants to play. And I also think with the medical concerns, he might not have even been on their board. And so essentially, except for Latu, every single defender was left for the taking. And then there was Fatanu. And I've been saying this for months. If you watch my mock draft shows, you've heard this discourse. As much as I love Fatanu the player, he ended up going 20 to the Steelers. There were some concerns about his knee. I absolutely love everything about that player. Everything you want to create an identity on offense. Perfect fit in Pittsburgh, my goodness. Nasty, physical, but athletic, can get out pole, can play multiple positions. It'll be interesting to see what the Steelers end up doing with him there. But as much as I would have loved that pick and I love that player, the way this draft is set up, I don't think the end result, I don't think the full list at the end of the draft would have looked as good because I've run the scenarios, man. And when you go guard early, the defensive tackle, defensive front, edge positions fall off a cliff tomorrow. And so you might get Fatanu and that might be enough to be happy with this draft because he's that good a player. But man, you're picking role players and projects on the defensive line later on. Not the case at guard. If you're still concerned about that guard, and somebody did tweet out tonight, I saw this, Thought it was kind of funny, but they said Byron Murphy's going to look like an all-pro when he goes up against those interior offensive linemen at Seahawks practices. The roster's not finalized today. We don't know how the coaches feel about the guys that are here, but it's funny to me how quickly we are or how quick we are to just consider that interior offensive line is trash, right? Last year, they spent a fourth and a fifth round pick on interior offensive linemen. We expect Olu Oluwatimi to be the starting center this year. He's a Remington Award winner. Started almost 60 games at college. Didn't give up a single sack his last season. He's a good, I think he's a 10-year center. Anthony Bradford, fourth round pick. One of the stars of the combine last year. Big, bruising, mauler. Started 10 games last year as a rookie. You ready to give up on him, cast him aside? They signed Lakin Tomlinson, who's just been an Ironman in his career, has played at an all-pro level, and they get him for cheap. Maybe he's not the starter. They also have McClendon Curtis, who they snatched off the Raiders practice squad last year at the beginning of the year, hung on to him all year, carried him on the roster. They felt that highly of him. And they signed Tremaine Antrim, a guy who 2 years ago was given an opportunity to start for the Rams and then got hurt. And looks like he has starter ability on tape to me. There may be more to work with than you want to believe, but also there's 2 days left in the draft. And I'm telling you, when 81 comes around and they're next here, let's put this up. These are the picks the Seahawks have. Of course, they've already taken 116. So then they have the third, 81, then they have two sixths and a seventh. I'm telling you, in that three round range between 81 and 118, there are Pro Bowl and all pro guards in that range in this draft. Tons of them. It's one of the deepest interior offensive line drafts ever, according to some analysts. And if you do the simulations, if you had taken Fatano at 16, you wouldn't have liked what's left on the defensive line with those picks. You wouldn't have liked what's left at 81, 102, 118. There were no Byron Murphys, I'll tell you that. There absolutely were not. Murphy, 6 foot, just over 6 foot, 297 pounds. I have seen reports of him being over 300 now. Similar-ish physically to Justin Madubuike, whom Mike McDonald had tremendous success with in Baltimore. One of the youngest defensive tackles in the class in this draft. That's the exciting thing about this guy. What he put on tape last year at Texas in his only full year as a starter. And then you consider he's 21 and a half years old. He'll turn 22 during the season. Why did he only start for 1 year, Dan? Well, he played in 39 games over his three-year career, 16 starts. It's because he played behind some studs. Last year, Texas produced Keandre Coburn and Moro Ojomo, who, if you're a fan of the show, you know he was one of my favorites last year. So he didn't get a chance to be a full-time starter until this year, but he was in the rotation. 8 tackles for loss, 5 sacks this year. He was on Bruce Feldman's freak list. He is an absolute monster. His lower half, like his clean and jerk and his front squat numbers, unbelievable. He made the freaks list. And then you turn on the tape, and I always tell people to go watch the Alabama tape from last year if you can find it on YouTube. If you can find all 22 in their matchup against Alabama 2023, watch it. Bama tried to establish the run, and they had a hard time doing it in large part because Byron Murphy was taken on blocks, sometimes two. And the way he sets his anchor is really impressive. Long arms, heavy hands, A-plus character. He's been described as one of the cleanest prospects in this entire draft. Texas elects their captains by game. He was voted captain for 4 games last year. Just a Seahawk player. And as much as when you watch that tape against Alabama, you might see a run stuffer. He was ranked number one among all FBS interior defensive linemen in pass rush win rate last year, 19.6%. Number one in the FBS. To me, You know, I've talked the last couple of weeks on the show about how my stick and picks were Fatanu, Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, maybe Fuaga, and maybe Dallas Turner if he fell, and he did. Murphy was my favorite. In fact, when I watched Commissioner Goodell come up to the podium, told this story on the live stream, and I do this a lot, but I'm focused on his mouth because I was hoping to see him form the first syllable B for Byron Murphy. I think this was the perfect first pick of the Mike McDonald era. If you want to establish that run wall he talks about, you want to build the defense from the front to back and from the inside out, you have to have great defensive lines. This is maybe a year late. Remember going into the offseason last year, Pete Carroll talked about how they wanted to emulate what the 49ers had built. And then they got rid of their entire defensive line group and never really built it up throughout the offseason the way that we wanted to see it, which forced them to have to go out and make a move and get Leonard Williams at the deadline. A move that now that we've re-signed him and have him locked up for 3 years looks better. Here's why. Here's the way I view drafts. Here's the Seahawks draft board as we look at it right now. Seahawks have taken three players in this draft already. There's Murphy at one. Leonard Williams was the second round pick. And Sam Howell, the value of the trade according to the Rich Hill chart equates to about a mid fourth round pick. So I put him in there. So if you're upset that they didn't get one of the top six quarterbacks, and that they're likely not going to get a shot at Spencer Rattler here, maybe not even Michael Pratt between now and 81. You did draft a quarterback. He's 23 years old. He's younger than a lot of these guys in this class. And you got Leonard Williams. You double dipped at a position that has been weak since the Super Bowl years, where they've been chasing things. Sheldon Richardson, Carlos Dunlap, Jadeveon Clowney, chasing. Now they're kind of working from ahead. Jaron Reed had a good year last year, but he's 32 years old now in the last year of his deal. Don't know what you have in Cameron Young yet. Showed some things late in the year. Matt Gatell could be a contributor. Saw some things from him in the last Arizona game I liked. Mike Morris, fifth round draft pick from last year. Haven't seen anything from him yet because he missed his whole rookie year injured. And then this adds a little bit of intrigue when it comes to Draymond Jones. Curtis Allen, who was on the show yesterday, and he's tweeted this out again since the Murphy pick. The single quickest way for the Seahawks to create some available salary cap space this year and especially next year would be to trade Draymond Jones. Now, the new staff has said on the record that they like Jones. They're excited about the potential. He's still just 27 years old. They like to move him around the line. They like his versatility. That maybe the reason he didn't have the impactful year we'd hoped for last year coming off that big free agent contract was just that he wasn't used correctly or coached up right. But talked about it with Curtis on the show yesterday. If they went D-tackle first, if they went Byron Murphy, if they went Johnny Newton, even if they went Tavondre Sweat in the third round, might it bring up the possibility of trading Jones to a team that has the cap space and has a need up front on defense and missed out on any of the top tackles because this class does fall off quickly. I don't necessarily want to see that. I'd like to see what Jones can do. And I'd like to see that combination. Now you're just deeper. You can rotate guys in, keep them fresh. Remember that line, that 2013, 14, 15 line with Bennett and Averill and rotating those guys in, keeping them fresh so their snap count didn't get too high. I'm really excited to see what this defensive line can look like. What might have happened? Remember last year, Seahawks take Devin Witherspoon. There was a lot of hand-wringing about whether that was too high for a corner, whether they should have taken Jalen Carter or not, character be damned. But also, should they take a quarterback last year? And they took all the pictures. They really took advantage and made the most out of having a top five pick in researching all those guys. And there were and continue to be reports, and Greg Bell said it on the show 2 weeks ago, that he was told by his sources that if Anthony Richardson had lasted one more pick last year, the Seahawks would have taken him at 5. This draft, although I don't think, you know, not necessarily will be defined by, but there may be some out there who still think that Troy Fatanu should have been the pick. We'll see. But there was also a faction of the fan base that wanted Michael Penix at 16. And I've talked about it ad nauseum, right? And how I would have been in favor of it and could see the value in it. Did a whole show about that. I could see the logic in that, playing the percentages. But also kind of hoped that it didn't present itself, that it was taken out of our hands, and it was. And so we'll see if Michael Penix becomes a perennial all-pro quarterback, and 3 years from now, Howell doesn't work out, Geno's done, and the Seahawks are still searching for a guy. Maybe you look back on this, but I think Murphy's going to be a good enough player that's a moot point anyway. Now, what's next? The Seahawks don't pick again until 81. He's never gone. That'll be 64 picks. He'll have to wait. He's never had to wait that long. He's never had that big of a gap, John Schneider, in his career as a GM. Corbin Smith has tweeted tonight. He doesn't see that happening. He thinks that he's going to find a way to get another pick before 81, and that he might be willing to borrow future picks to do it. I'm not so sure about that. We continue to hear about how much stronger they expect next year's class to be, because this year, just saw a report the other day from an analyst who said he had 80 plus draftable grades on players who decided to stay in school this year. That the COVID extra years essentially runs out this year. There might be a few stragglers next year, but it won't be as pronounced. And that next year's class is generally considered to be better. So I'm not so sure, even though right now I think it's a fourth and a fifth, the Seahawks are in line to get a comp pick for next year, so they would have 9 picks. I suppose if someone's willing to take a later pick, but it usually takes more than that. You usually get future picks are discounted a little bit. They're not worth as much because the team doesn't get to cash it in for another year. So I'm not so sure about that idea. What I could see is maybe, especially in light of the fact that this draft is generally considered to be weaker on day 3 than many have been recently, that maybe quantity over quality is the approach here. And that you could take, let me put this back up again. You could essentially, you know, you could trade a 4th and a 6th maybe to get up into another third round pick. Or you could take that pick at 81 and add 102 to it, and that might allow you to get up a little bit higher. Something along those lines, just kind of a minor move to move up a little bit and get a guy that you really have conviction about. Maybe. Maybe. But prepare to wait until 18, because it sounds like teams are unwilling to pay the freight to move up significantly in this draft. As far as what else is next, one of the things I love about modern day NFL mock draft simulators is they update right away. And as I record this right now, the draft isn't quite over. So I am going to, you'll see a little bit of a transition here, and then we're going to get into it, and we're going to run just a really quick mock draft simulator of what the rest of the draft might look like for the Seahawks coming up tomorrow. All right. So this is the thing I love about some of these simulators, but I know I can always count on the Pro Football Network simulator to update immediately. So they've already got the first round loaded in. And so now we can just pick up this thing where we left off. So I've got it set for a 7-round draft. I've got it set on the fast mode. We're going to enter this draft right now. And you'll see, there you go. First round. That's how it went. Byron Murphy, Seahawks, 16. Now, imagine this tomorrow in real time. And John Schneider watching all these picks go by. But this is why I want to show you where the value works out at offensive guard, because many of you may feel like, well, at 81 now, we have to get an interior offensive lineman. We have to. But what if there's value at another position? Here's why. Look at the top of the board here. Right here. Junior Colson, linebacker, Michigan, played for Mike Montgomery. Best in a weak linebacker class, best size, speed prospect out there. Can play the Mike or the Will. 21 years old, lots of football behind him, lots of upside ahead of him. And then if you go and you look at the interior offensive lineman, look at this list. Christian Mahogany, Dominic Pooney, who's one of my guys, Brandon Coleman, Mason McCormick, Isaiah Adams can play left guard or right tackle, Zach Zinter out of Michigan. That's an impressive list, and look where they're ranked, and the Seahawks have picks 102 and 118 coming up. So I'm not taking a guard here. I am taking that linebacker. Let's get Junior Colson in the fold. I might have looked safety there if Colson wasn't there or one of the other linebackers. Now, this is an interesting trade that's being offered to us, but let's not worry about that. Let's just do stick and pick, right? Now, I'm going to go look at that interior offensive line. If you look at the overall board, Jatavion Sanders is interesting. Tight end two on some people's rankings. You can get, you know, tight end, maybe a future need. Really athletic guy. You could go tight end there. I wouldn't really split hairs over that at all. You want one of the safeties. Jaden Hicks is still there. Bo Braid is a really good box safety. But let's take a look at the interior offensive line now. So Brandon Coleman, Mason McCormick, I got to get one of these guys. Coleman's played tackle. He's got some versatility, tackle guard. But McCormick, to me, one of the best athletic testers that we've seen at the position, at the combine in many years. Played at a smaller school, sure, South Dakota State, but played a ton of football. He's physical. He's nasty. He's athletic. He can get out and pull. I think he's a guy that will push Lakin Robinson for, or Lakin Tomlinson for starting reps as a rookie and a long-term fixture of that position. I'm getting that guy now, and I'm checking that box off. Now I'm going to look at the overall board because I'm looking for value, right? I'm looking at safety. McKinley Jackson was a guy they met with. He's one of the true nose tackles in this draft. I don't know now that you've taken Byron Murphy if that's a pick I want to make. But this is Michael Pratt. Rattler's gone. Michael Pratt's kind of raised up draft boards recently. It seems like that's a guy that some see as a future potential starter in the NFL. I'm getting my quarterback there. I'm going to carry three quarterbacks on the roster this year for the first time under John Schneider and Pete Carroll. Unless, am I missing anything? In the regular season, have they ever carried three quarterbacks for an entire season? I don't think so. But I'm doing it there. Again, I see a lot of value here on the board. Some other defensive linemen, Christian Board, who they met with. Ladarius Henderson's a guy who plays guard and tackle out of Michigan. Do we want to double down at linebacker? I like Maris Leifau from Notre Dame. Just hair on fire. Tremendous effort. I do want to look at the edge class here because there's a couple of guys, okay, that I think are rated way too low. I know there's a lot of sentiment for Muhammad Kamara. I just think he's too small. He's too much of a gadget player. I don't think he fits in a McDonald defense. I think they want to get a little bigger. Brennan Jackson does. 6'3", 264, really athletic, outstanding size, productive, tackles for loss, sacks at UW or at WSU. And, oh my God, as a WSU alum, I can't believe I just made that little slip of the tongue. Just a guy who you never, ever have to worry about effort. But we also have a couple of picks left. Oh, I'd worry about him going. Let's look at the overall. Let's look on offense because I have talked about this for a while. Wide receiver and running back are needs. They just are long-term. Ryan Flournoy is a guy that's on my radar because Rob Staten loves him, really athletic. Look at that. Look at that relative athletic score, 9.89. Smaller school guy, Southeast Missouri State. Jaquan Jackson out of Tulane. Smaller guy, kind of a return specialist. similar to Anthony Gould out of Oregon State, who's also on the board. Running backs, George Halani is a guy that they met with, 5'10", 208 out of Boise State. He could be a possibility, but I think there's some value there. I am going to go wide receiver here. I'm going to take a chance and I might miss out on Brennan Jackson at edge. I'm going to go Ryan Flournoy. A little tip of the cap to Rob Staten there because he's a guy that he loves. Now, please, is Brennan Jackson still there? He sure is. I'm going to take him there. And then we're probably going to finish up with either a safety. It's our last pick in the draft. Sione Vaki is a guy that's really versatile. I like at Utah. Some have even said he might be draftable as a running back in this class. Maybe he's the perfect guy here. He can play safety. He can play box and free, but he can also, he can be a running back for you in a pinch. Dominic Hampton is a safety that I love, but he's not going to be there at 230. That just isn't going to fall that way. So I'm actually going to pass on safety. I think they like some of the guys that they have. I think Kobe Bryant has some upside still. Jarek Reed when he's healthy. Jonathan Sutherland. I think they have some depth there and they can get some guys in undrafted free agency with only one pick left. I'm going to make sure that I get a running back that I think has some upside, can challenge Kenny McIntosh as that third running back. Because when you go out in an undrafted free agency, you try to recruit these guys and they know that they have Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, and McIntosh. You might have a hard time getting those better guys to sign with you. So you use a draft pick and you take the nation's leading rusher last year, Kamani Vidal, out of Troy, who's outstanding cutback ability and vision, but also can hit the home run. And a guy that Corbin Smith says the best pass protector he scouted as a running back in the last 10 years. That's a guy that I'm taking. So Byron Murphy in the first round, you still get Junior Colson, a guy that Seahawks fans have wanted. Mason McCormick, a guy that's going to start at some point as a rookie and be a long-term fixture at left guard. Michael Pratt, a guy that might challenge Sam Howell as quarterback of the future. And you get him in the fourth round. Ryan Flournoy, a guy with some really athletic ability to add to that receiver room with Tyler Lockett not getting any younger. Brennan Jackson, super effort guy, coming off the edge, fast pass rusher, but also a solid run defender, and maybe a guy you can put 15 pounds on, make him 280 so he can slide inside a little bit too, and then you get a guy that's going to challenge for your third down back spot, probably makes the roster at worst as your fourth running back. How do you feel about that group? It's been fun, and this is just the first night. We have a lot ahead of us. Day two tomorrow, the Seahawks, as we sit now, only have that one pick at 81. We'll see if that changes. Could a player be traded? Could future picks be traded? There is a lot of value in between picks 33 and 81 that would really help this roster. But I think the Seahawks got better today. I do. I think they got better at a position that it's really good to get better at. Just be strong up front on defense. And they'll address the offensive line tomorrow and the next day. Elsewhere around the division, Jared Verse I thought was a perfect fit for the Rams at 19. Exactly what they needed. They had to be tickled pink that he lasted that long. The Cardinals, of course, just kind of stuck and picked and got better. Marvin Harrison, Darius Robinson, a guy that looked like a potential Seahawk. Be a nice piece for them up front on defense. They need it. And then the 49ers with an interesting move, taking Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. Does that mean Brandon Ayuk might be on the move? There were reports they were shopping Deebo Samuel today as well. From a Seahawk perspective, adding a receiver to an already loaded group in San Francisco, I don't know. I don't know if that moves the needle much for them. But a good day overall for the NFC West, I would say. Follow me on Twitter at Seahawks Forever. Get some sleep. We'll come back and do this all again tomorrow. I will have my recap and another mock draft after the third round ends tomorrow. Forever and always, go Hawks. Thanks for watching.